Hello, everybody. Keith and the Girls. Keith Malley here.
I'm Chemda. Welcome to My Opening Line.
My Opening Line, where we talk to comedians and artists about their very first times on stage, performing, and it's a hoot. By the way, make sure you have the app from Laughable. Go to laughable.com, download this free app. What you do is, you know how you subscribe to a podcast.
And so every time that podcast puts out an episode, you get that in your feed. You can even click the bell and it'll alert you to it. But now, not only can you subscribe to the podcast, you can subscribe to the host or the guest that you like. And then when that person guests on anybody's show, you get that in your feed also. And you can also turn on the bell and they'll notify you of that. So if you follow our guest, you might have found My Opening Line because you followed her on Laughable.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest is the co-host of the YouTube comedy channel Just Between Us, an author of I Hate Everybody But You, Allison Raskin.
Thank you. It's I Hate Everyone But You, but that's so close. I'm sorry to have to correct you again. But I appreciate the research that's gone into all of this.
Well, apparently none. Between Keith and the
What's
girls
sad
saying,
is that you've done the most of anyone I've ever done a podcast with, and then there's just those little things.
Well, it's not hard when you make everything up, right? Allison, what came first, by the way? You being a journalist?
I'm not a journalist.
You writing an article? Or a think piece, I believe they're called? Or are you doing stand-up?
So I identify as like a writer first. And so I went to USC Film School for screenwriting. When I was there, my freshman year got on to an improv team. More on that later. And that was really...
Stay tuned. Yeah.
And so that was really my first probably like, you know, I'd done theater and stuff in high school, but like, you know, like my first like comedy on stage, and we had a weekly show and it was like kind of a big deal to be on the team. And then while also at school, I started doing stand up as well. I took like a class at the West Side Comedy Theater.
After doing improv, was stand up such a treat that you don't have to work with other people? You'll perform when you want.
I think I was much less talented at stand up to begin with. I think I kind of had like a more of a natural proclivity for improv, and stand up, I really struggled to like find my voice and find a way to not be really unlikable.
What was unlikable about you?
I think that I started, you know, college was a really rough time for me. And so I came from, my comedy has always been, you know, it's not observational. It's based on my life. It's based on my story. And so I think that I was still so much in the thick of it that I approached a lot of it with a bitterness that was really off-putting.
And it seems like stand-up comedy comes with bitterness. And that's what's interesting about people's response to you as a stand-up or to people as a stand-up, because a lot of stand-ups have this edge and they'll be like, fuck airplanes, blah, blah, blah. That's what you think they're saying. So when you meet them, they go, hey, fuckface. And they expect that to be a very warm hello, because that's a lot of stand-up persona on stage, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like, I think that I was always battling and that I didn't look like a stand-up. Like, I think that I think it's harder to be a female stand-up. I think it's harder to be a female stand-up that dresses like a prissy girl. Like, you know, like
you weren't in a jeans and a t-shirt and a hoodie.
Exactly. And I think that like there was, I remember like realizing kind of quick, and I don't think that this is as true anymore, but it was a couple years ago, where like I felt like immediately upon getting on stage, I had to prove why I was on stage. Like I had to.
I do remember that. And I do think it really just recently changed.
It changed. It's definitely changed.
Yeah.
But like I felt like I very quickly had to be like, and this is why my life is terrible and I deserve to be up here with all of you. You know? And so, but like doing that in a way where like now I think I'm able to kind of do the same thing, but like I don't have to open with those jokes. I don't like, I think that I approach them completely differently when I'm on stage.
How do you do that? How do you approach that on stage and go, hey, I'm a bum like everybody else?
I kind of do. Well, one of my jokes is sort of like, look, like I don't like to brag, but like I've had a ton of mental illness, you know, and like kind of just like approaching it from just like a straight, you know, it's like I've had this, I've had that, like kind of talking about it like it's not something that is like sad and bad, you know. But I think that that took a really long time. And I think that my writing skills and my acting skills really formed much quicker than my persona skills did on stage.
So do you remember your actual first time and why you started doing stand-up? Because if improv's working really well...
Well, it was working really well until my team kicked me off because they told me it wasn't funny 3 years in.
Oh,
so, yeah. That was the more on this later.
Like, yes, and get the fuck out. Yes, and?
Yeah, I mean, I was on a team. I was the only girl on the team.
How did you get on that team?
An audition and a callback.
So they chose you.
Oh, yeah. It was super competitive. And I was on the team for 3 years and they were like my best friends. And then the summer before senior year of college, I got a call from like the new head of the team who had come up with, and he was like, we're kicking you off, which is something I don't think they'd ever done before.
How did they phrase that?
It's not your writing. It's you can't make things up fun.
God.
They were like, you're not funny.
Did they say that?
I'm pretty sure they said that. It was very traumatizing. I mean, looking back, I obviously was not in a great place. I'm sure I was much more difficult than I like to believe that I was at the time. Do I believe I deserved that? No.
Did you lose all those friendships?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did anyone else approach you after that? Like, hey, I know you're not on the team.
Actually, one of the guy's ex-girlfriends approached me and was like,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And she was like, that's crazy. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Oh, my God.
But one of the girls who I had been really close with, I'm sorry, one of the guy's girlfriends who I had been really close with, our friendship fell apart because of that as well. Yeah, but like, whatever, guys. Like, life's a journey.
Holy shit, that is very traumatic. So that's what got you to stand up?
That's what got me more focused on it, yeah. So I think I had already kind of started, but then there was a stand-up group at USC, and I joined that senior year. And that group of kids were like so much... So like just less snobby and like less like up their own ass and much more accepting and like supportive. And so we would have maybe like a monthly show and we would like workshop jokes with each other. And I was also, well, I started, this is all like all the tragedy, right? So so I took this class to learn like at Westside Comedy Theater. And I had like my teacher was sort of like a mentor and like, and I, you know, he was sort of getting me up in.
Was this a college course?
Or no, just... this was outside of college.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was still in college, but I went to college in LA. So like I was already taking UCB and I was doing, you know, like kind of my senior year, I was more like a graduate student than like an undergrad where like I went to class, but like my life was outside of the university. Pretty cool. you know, and so I had this teacher and then he like I came back like the next year or something and then had a very unfortunate incident. He was a married older man and he tried to kiss me in my car. So I had to, you know, do like the block. And then I lost that connection of like I didn't want anything to do with him. So like
how did he react at the moment when you X'd him out?
We know what the X means. You know?
Well, it was also very funny because I was not at all, it wasn't like, oh, leading up to that, I was like like I could tell he was, and I was being very much like, please do not, like, you know.
Oh, but so you could tell, like, he's leading up to that and you were trying to
just prevent it. And yeah. So that sucked.
He's licking his lips. He's breathing heavy.
This is like where it gets great, right? So then I recently, you know, through the Me Too movement, I don't know if this is what your podcast is about. So sorry, but
hey, your origin story is your origin story.
I like wrote just like kind of like on Twitter, like about like my experiences with Me Too and kind of feeling like, oh, I haven't gone through, you know, I've never been assaulted. I've never, luckily, I've never been raped. Like, I've obviously experienced harassment and unfortunate incidences, but like feeling sort of like, oh, where's my place in this? Like, I want to support women, but I also, you know, and in that, I just sort of like kind of like briefly mentioned that experience with him. And then a couple months later, I get this handwritten letter to my apartment from him. I have no idea how he knows where I live. And like, so already.
Did you name names in that post?
No.
Wow.
I've never named his name. And I don't even know if I fully, I don't even remember his last name. Like, that's how, you know, like, and I get this handwritten letter and it's such bullshit because it was like, it was basically like, I'm so sorry that affected you so much.
That has been the sorries, right?
Mm-hmm. Where he was like, and then he went on to be like, obviously, like, you know, like I've been on set and like I've had these experiences where like women will do these things to me and like they just didn't affect me that much. But like obviously this affected you and like I was going through a rough time with my Ooh. Wife and so he's clearly still with the wife, like you know, and like it was just like
I wonder if that wife knows that he's sending this letter. You know what I mean? I don't think that he's licking the envelope going like, hey, if she asks me about this, you know, it's
I think she probably does. I think he thinks he's great. I think he thinks he's a great dude who's like completely made up for this moment in my life that I overreacted to.
Did you react to that?
No. This is the first time I'm talking about it publicly.
Oof. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. That's...
I just find it comical the way people, the people rationalize things in their brain. That like, oh, I shouldn't have made that such a big deal. But like, since I did, you're I'm sorry.
But it's right. It's amazing to me that he doesn't think, you know, don't let me add to it.
Yeah, yeah, don't let me freak her out by sending a handwritten letter to her apartment.
Yeah.
And it was like certified mail. Like, I don't know how he knew where I lived.
Wow.
Holy shit. I honestly wonder if he got advice to do it because that's odd. Mm. I wonder if he contacted like a lawyer or some kind of you know, adjacent. And they said, because the certified mail sounds really creepy.
Maybe it wasn't certified, but it was like this like official looking letter. I don't think it had like a return address. Like it was strange.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a weird thing to get delivered.
Mm-hmm. And on the envelope, it said birthday money inside. Oh. I really wanted to make sure it got to you. Oh,
so gross. Ugh. Well, anyway, so, but you were taking stand-up classes. Did those help?
I think it always helps to practice in a low, like, low stakes environment. Like I think it helps to workshop and for people to give you feedback in a way where like if you're on a show or you're at a mic and someone gives you feedback, you're sort of like, who the fuck are you to give me feedback? Mm-hmm. But if the point of the class is feedback, then I think it can be helpful. I also took another class at New York Comedy Club one summer, and I think that one was where I really figured out that like, oh, what I'm doing is not working.
Oh, wow. So did you go up on stage? Do you remember your first time on stage, why you went there or what place you went to?
I kind of remember that show at New York Comedy Club. That's what it's called, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And my parents were there. And ooh. I think afterwards they sort of like helped me realize that like it was just like too mean. Like it was just from a place of just like too mean and too bitter. And like, you know, that's like not ever really been who I am. But I think sometimes when you go into that place where you're talking about that stuff and like it's also kind of a defense mechanism and you're like kind of. You're sort of like figuring it out. And
do you remember the vibe of your joke or like...
Yeah, this guy tried to kiss me in the car, piece of shit.
That hadn't happened yet, luckily. I think like, it's just like, I think so much of it is just your tone. So like that summer... okay, so that summer where I took this class was the worst summer of my life. And what happened? Let me take you through it. Mm-hmm. So that was the summer I got kicked off of my improv team. And it was also the summer where I got my nose job. And my nose job caused me to have vision problems where I was seeing double. And like I like just had blurry vision and it like completely messed me up. And no one would take credit for it. The surgeon was like, oh, there's no way that that's...
Mm. No way.
Yeah, that's me. I was also...
All that's on my head, but right. There's no way.
I was also like... misdiagnosed with narcolepsy that summer and was like being given this like liquid sleeping aid to like, so I was like really on a ton of drugs and like, but I was also weaning off of Cymbalta and my OCD was like out of control. And I'd like gone to France for like a 6-week program with NYU for like a film program. But then I got, and it was supposed to be like international dormitories, but I got there and it was a filthy, filthy hostel where they like hadn't even cleaned the room since the previous person. And me like wearing glasses because my couldn't wear contacts because of my like eyes. And but also having now a smaller nose. So my glasses didn't fit.
Oh, so and, I didn't even consider that.
Oh, yes. And I'm there with like 2 suitcases and like I'm like hysterically crying to my parents from France being like, I can't stay here. It's disgusting. And like. Flying back home 3 days later into what was supposed to be a 6-week trip. And then I did that class. So, you know, like I was just carrying like so much. I didn't have like the perspective. Like when I tell jokes about that time in my life now, like, you know, comedy is like tragedy plus time. I didn't have the plus time. And so it was probably made people uncomfortable.
a lot of crying.
Yeah. Or yeah, it was too raw, too sad. Right. I think that you have to present your sadness and your truth to people in a way where it's like, this is me, but don't worry, I have it handled. Because if not, it just makes people really uncomfortable.
And did it make your parents feel uncomfortable, or it
probably just made them sad?
How did they bring that up? Did you ask them like, "Hey, I'm willing to be critiqued here. Let it rip."
I don't. I have such a bad memory. I don't remember specifics, but I do know that walking away from that show, they kind of made it clear that that wasn't the best.
Did you consider that you may not go up again, or were you like, "I got to figure out this timing and this sadness thing"?
No, I kept going up. I mean, I did stand up pretty consistently for a few years through college and out of college. And then once I started working at BuzzFeed, I sort of took a break. And now I host a monthly show. So I'm going up at least once a month, and, I'll do here and there. But for me, stand up is great because it's helped me so much with my joke writing. And in a way, it's also helped me so much in being personable. And learning in a pitch meeting, learning, when someone is not liking this, and how to switch to what they will like, or how to keep it short, and how to, because I had
such good skills.
Absolutely.
Can you?
Right. And if somebody heckles a business meeting, you're ready.
Absolutely.
Right. Do you have a trick that you can share with people on how to make a business meeting a little bit more concise, or move your way, or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I can tell pretty quickly if someone likes me or not. If it's going to be a warm room, if it's not, even today I had a pitch, and there was one part of the pitch that she didn't like, and she made a comment about, and I was like, oh, I got to note that. And you have to just be super aware of people, and sometimes just know I'm not what this person wants. What I'm giving off is not something this person is ever going to respond to.
And how do you switch that? Because you are you. And
yeah. Sometimes then I'm like, it's lost cause, or I'll focus on the other person in the room. Because a lot of times it's more than one person.
Can you put your hand up to block the other person and then focus on...
Well, at this point, I've pushed them away.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you start working for BuzzFeed?
I think that was 2014.
Okay.
And it was only 8 months of my life. Yeah, we were not there for very long.
But it grew so fast. I remember we actually went to BuzzFeed last time we were here, which was around that time, I think. And it wasn't, I was losing my mind over BuzzFeed. And, I wanted to see Gabby. She was showing us around. And it was like, oh, we might grow to this and that. And then I swear to God, it was a week after we left, BuzzFeed was exactly where you get your news from. It was where you understood what appropriation versus appreciation was. Mm-hmm. It was every topic had this, and it actually was the new learning for millennials, I think. It was, hey, this is what everyone's talking about. This is how we feel about it, and this is how you might relate to it, and here's how you might want to learn how to respond to it instead of the shittiness that we've learned.
I asked Gabby, where's the bathroom in this place? And she said, 7 ways to know where the bathroom is. Number one. All right.
But also that we understood it was a lot of pressure. You had to put out a lot of material.
I was actually really lucky in that I was lucky and unlucky. I was in a different department than most people in video. So I was actually in the writing department, and we were focused more on longer form and longer videos and series. And so I didn't have that 2 week video, two videos per week requirement. And also I went in being like, I do not know how to edit, and I have no intention of learning how to edit. And so I was always just a writer, actor there. I was never on the production side.
Oh, wow. Have you learned how to edit since?
No, why would I? Then people would make me edit.
And everyone else is like, I could have just said that.
Yeah.
Was it a lot of pressure when you started working there, or was it not the thing that it had developed to become?
It was just exciting. I mean, it was so wonderful and great, and it was amazing to suddenly be internet famous. And then I remember there was this big meeting, and I was standing there, and I was like, oh, it's so sad that I can't work here for the rest of my life. I love it here, because it was my first real creative. It was my first job where I was a creative. And then within a matter of months, it was an awful, awful experience, and I couldn't wait to get out.
Why?
None of the videos were edited. It looks ridiculous.
Because I was in that department, it was like very unclear what we were doing, and I wasn't allowed to be in regular videos anymore. I was only allowed to be in scripted videos, but scripted wasn't making any videos, so that didn't make any sense. And they also were really mad that we had our own channel, and they sort of made it impossible for us to enjoy it there at a certain point. And so we left, and that was great. And it was also a lesson that like things can be awesome and then they're not awesome and then you leave.
Was that a big decision? Because it is to get a creative job that is steady, that you work with people that you like and that pays you as an artist. Was that something that you had to think longer about, where you should have maybe quit a month earlier or something?
Yeah, it was a big decision. We were lucky that we sort of had something else lined up. But it was, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people thought we were crazy. And then since then, pretty much everyone has left.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That's a huge step, I feel. You know, it feels very adulting, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it was just funny because we were the first like kind of not higher profile, but like more visible people to do it. We really were shunned from that community. And now like everyone's left and everyone's like so cool and chill about it. But because we were like the first ones to do it, there was like, we didn't really maintain friendships with like, we maintained friendship with a couple people, but like not to the extent that we had felt like, oh, we were part of this friend group.
Wow. Well, I got to say, I'm team BuzzFeed because they have an amazing snack closet, second to none. How you can leave that behind, I don't know.
That's true. It was amazing. Snacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So normally we ask people at the end to give advice, like what's, but we say other than getting up on stage a lot, what's the advice? And we talked to you before and you're like, that's not even good advice.
Yeah. To me, like there's this sense of like, oh, with stand-up, all that matters is that you're hitting the pavement, that you're going up seven nights a week to multiple mics. And like when I was on the mic circuit, like these people didn't prepare their material.
Right.
Like they didn't have good jokes. They were just like going up all the time. And so there was this feeling of like entitlement that like, you know, I'm owed this stage time. And even pretty recently I had like a touring agent be like, well, like I was like, well, I'd love to, you know, potentially like get into touring. And she was like, but you're not up every night. And it's like, that doesn't matter. Like to me, it's like every time that I'm like acting is like helping me on stage. Like every time I'm writing is helping me on, like it all feeds itself. It's all your story, your persona, like your ability to craft jokes and
entertain and tell a story.
Exactly. And so I don't really think that like that level of stage time, it depends what kind of comic you are. Like if you're a comic who like mostly works out their stuff on stage, obviously that's different. But for me, I always wrote my jokes ahead of time.
I saw a comic last night and they said, I perform 10 times a week. And I said, what if you try 7?
Exactly. So I think it's more like making sure that the material that you do have when you do get up is good and that you put thought into it versus the amount of time that you're up.
So take a night off to write.
Exactly.
And then the next night might be more productive.
Totally.
All right. I love it. Controversial. We're going to send this, we're going to send this to everybody else who was on the show. She says you're wrong.
I agree. I think more people can sit down. I really do. That's how I feel. If you want to follow Allison on social media, follow Allison Raskin, R-A-S-K-I-N. You do, if you haven't for whatever reason, want to check out the YouTube videos Just Between Us and the book I recommend as well, I Hate Everyone But You.
And I'll have a new scripted podcast, Gossip, that comes out June 14th, anywhere you can find podcasts.
You excited?
Very excited.
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's a comedic soap opera. So it's kind of new for the genre. It's not a new genre. It's a new genre for podcasting.
Yeah.
So
how do you like writing it?
It was awesome. It was an amazing. Yeah, it's a 12 episode series where you can kind of dive in whenever, but also there's like an overall arc of what's going on. So
sweet. I love it because you can binge it and it's funny that you say you could dive in whenever, but hey, guess what? Episode 1 is going to be available to you.
Exactly.
So start there for funsies.
Why didn't we do that? Seasons.
Right.
Seasons. Exactly. All right. We'll tell your friends about this show and we'll talk to you next week again.
Thank you.
And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com.